Have you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
And welcome to our show here on November the 12th, 2014. And Augie Nash from Tucson is our guest co-host tonight to introduce our guest. Augie, I'll let you take on right now.
Okay, yeah, this is Augie. And I was asked to be co-host again tonight, and I want to have the pleasure of introducing a good friend and one of the most brilliant minds that I have had the enjoyment of meeting in my time. He is the manager of the mind development course called Zox Pro. I'm going to spell that for you. That's Zoxpro. Now, they teach mental photography, photographic memory, brain management, and how to assimilate information out of a book at the rate of about 50,000 or more words per minute with 90 to 95% retention. Now, in this technological age, we are overloaded with information. Our guest and the teachers of ZoxPro are training and teaching how to assimilate great volumes of information, organize it, and place it into the mind so it have much easier access to it later on. Now, the reason that I can talk so confidently about this type of training is that about 20 years ago, I used to travel around the United States teaching this course. And it was an incredible experience. I learned a lot, and having the experience of helping people accelerate their learning so that if they were in school, let's say, and maybe even lagging behind in grades, some of them were C, D, and even F students, they usually jumped 2 to 3 grades right after they graduated from the course, and very often straight to A's. Now, this changed lives, and I was able to help out with that, and this is what our guest tonight is doing. Therefore, I want to introduce to you, he's calling in from Australia where he lives, and I give you Shannon Ponzo. Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Hi, Augie. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. And Eddie, thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure being able to share good things with people.
Yeah, this is the second time you're on this show, and we have a lot of people out there listening, and I'm sure that many of them would like to have, just about anything that they prefer to hear, nuts and bolts and so on. But I think there is something that you told me that needs to be shared. A few days ago, we talked on the phone, and you told me something that you were able to help with. And I kind of think it is important that this is shared with the people because it will open up the door for them to understand what this kind of mental photography and this kind of mind training will really help people do. And would you do that for us, Shannon? I think this will be good. It will be very good for people to hear.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I would like to talk about is the mental photography. The mental photography itself gives people a way to take in absolutely huge volumes of information and really just utilize that information in all different sorts of ways, whether it be through knowledge, whether it be through lateral thinking, problem solving, decision making, obviously scoring better grades, what have you. But most people can't grasp the more conventional sense as to why that is actually important. What actually makes the difference? Well, what actually makes a difference in most people's lives is the ability to help themselves, and not only help themselves, but to help others. And that's sort of where this story is going. Now, what happened to me is about a week and a half ago. I know this lady over in the United States, and she's a diabetic. So she has a whole rife of problems and takes a whole lot of drugs and has to deal with various things. One of the things that she suffers from is the nerve damage in her feet, and she doesn't feel things right away. And so about 3.5 months ago, she got an infection in her foot. Well, as you know, whenever you get an infection in the foot and you don't feel it, well, it starts doing a lot of damage, and it did a lot of damage to her. And she had to go into surgery, and she lost her toe. And it was a big toe, so that wasn't a very pleasurable circumstance. But they cleaned it all up, and they were dressing it and doing everything that they needed to do. And pretty soon they found that the infection had spread, and it spread to the next joint, the next bone. So they had to go back into the surgery, and they had to take out the next bone in her foot, which, of course, that between those two bones there, that really puts you off balance. You have to learn how to walk again. And she was down this road going on to 3 months, and she still had the infection there. And she's going, well, you know, why is this infection there? You know, we thought we got the infection. And, you know, we thought we had taken care of this, but there's still an infection in here, and it's still growing, even with all the treatment that they're doing. And even the doctor scratching his head going, well, you know, we're doing the treatment, and every time we open up the wound, it's still septic. And that is not a good sign. That means that more and more pieces of the foot will be cut off until they can get, and she could, you know, through a migration process, she could lose her foot, she could lose part of her leg, even all of her leg. So obviously you want to take care of these things as they come up. It's good that they just didn't take her foot off straight away, but they're having problems with this infection that keeps reoccurring. So I asked her, I said, well, you know, in conversation, I says, well, what kind of treatment are they doing? And she told me that they're using this, it's like on a felt, a piece of felt that's cut to the size of the wound. It's silver impregnated felt, and it's supposed to set up a bacteriostatic field in the wound area itself and keep the bacteria from infecting that area. And just through a migratory process, the silver does actually manage to get into the flesh to some degree. There are other things that will get in further, but this actually sets up a static field on the surface of the wound, whereas on the other side of the wound, you want to have the capillaries doing what they're supposed to do, and that's deliver the white blood cells to fight the infection from that side. And between the two, they should be working together just fine. I said, well, you know, me knowing just how virulent silver is in this type of circumstance, the treatment sounded really good. Why isn't it working? I said, well, tell me what they're actually doing with this treatment. Well, I come to find that they're actually using saline solution to wash the wound prior to inserting the silver gauze into this area, the silver felt. And they're using saline solution. I said, does the saline solution have salt in it? Well, almost all saline solutions do. So whenever you, she said, well, she thought she, you know, it was that type of saline solution. So she went ahead and checked after the fact, and sure enough, it was. Now, whenever you're dealing with saline solution and you have salt, if you have salt in water, it breaks into two components, one of which is an ion-based chlorine atom. And this ionic chlorine atom is really, really virulent at combining with another thing called silver. And silver is very active as it is, but then you have silver chloride created, which basically totally inhibits what you're trying to accomplish with the silver because you've just bound it up. And so you take the effectiveness of the silver and you take it way down, probably at least less than a tenth, maybe even less than that, of what it's actually going to be effective with. So your infection fighting component is now devoid of the ability to fight infection. She was having the dressing changed. She talked to the nurse there and said, does that saline solution have salt in it? And she read it on the packet. Sure enough, it had salt in it. And she says, well, my PhD friend says that that's the wrong treatment. Okay. Now, this is a lady that is now telling the nurse that that's the wrong treatment for this particular circumstance. So she's now going against what the doctor's orders are. So they bring in the RN, the registered nurse, and the first nurse says, can you tell the RN what you just told me? Oh, my PhD friend tells me that the salt in the saline solution is not allowing the silver to do what it's meant to do. It's combining with the silver and stopping it from working. Okay. So the RN goes out and brings in the head surgeon, the surgeon that's been overseeing this lady's recuperation, and the one scratching the hair off his head trying to figure out what the problem is. So he comes in, and the RN says, can you tell the surgeon what you just told me? So round-robin effect. So what ends up happening is she tells the surgeon the same thing, and the surgeon and the RN go off. And pretty soon the RN comes back in and very apologetically explains that they have actually been using the wrong component to use with the silver.
Hmm.
And that her treatment was immediately changed that day. She no longer, what they use is distilled water or something similar to distilled water, which no longer has the chlorine in it. So they immediately changed it out. They turned around and they had a board meeting in the hospital. This hospital, which services over 55,000 clients a year with burn victims, it specializes in burn victims, wounds that do not heal, diabetics, things like this. They specialize in this. And if this isn't just a fly-by-night little clinic with one or two doctors in it, this is a major part of a hospital that is dealing with this, and they really should know. But it, for some reason, there was a huge oversight that they had never actually tested the saline solution against the silver. So whenever they found this out, they had this board meeting, and throughout the entire hospital, they changed the procedure. So that effectively has helped at least, a potential of at least 55,000 people each year.
Oh my God.
On their ability to heal. Within one week, she has had more progress with her healing than she has had in over 3.5 months, where the wound was almost healed up within 1 week because it was being applied correctly without the saline. Now, if you take that domino effect, and you say, okay, well, this hospital is absolutely going to be affiliated with other hospitals, that piece of information is going to travel throughout many hospitals and will affect many, many thousands of people. Now, what my intent was to help one person. Her intent was to help herself. She goes and she talks to somebody. Not only is her problem solved, but also the problems of many other people right there, not only in that ward, but in the hospital and beyond. So how many people were affected by one tiny, wonderful little piece of information? I don't know. That was not my intent, but that is the potential. Any time that you help someone, that is the potential of what that help can do for not only that person, but for other people. If you want to be the hero in your family, in your friends, in your business, you need information, and you need good information. You need thorough information.
Mm-hmm.
Augie has been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for a long time. We've accumulated horrendous amounts of information. And whenever it comes to problem solving, things come to us easily that professionals in their field should have easily caught, but just a simple oversight, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
It is amazing how many people you can affect at one tiny little thing that you do.
Mm.
Most people, most doctors can never lay claim to helping that many people in their entire professional career. That's what that one piece of information has just done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. This is a phenomenal story if you really understand the depth of it. And it came about probably because somewhere along the line, you photographed a book that had this information, this chemical information in it. And when you talked to her, it popped up and it came right out and you told her. Otherwise, you probably would never known or thought of it.
Augie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, Augie, I wanted to ask a question.
Yes.
There's a website that I visit quite frequently. It's called rumormillnews.com. And they have had a couple people on there. I haven't had time to look at it because I've been busy looking at other stuff. But they claim that there is some combination of herbs that if you take it, you can get off insulin. Have you heard that or anything
absolutely.
Like that? I'm just curious. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's very curable. But it also is, like Shannon is talking about, it is mind and matter together that works. You may take all the medications or herbs in the world, and if
mm-hmm.
your mind is not with it, it is not going to have the same effect.
Right. That's true.
Whenever you're talking about healing in general, and this can be healing of any type, the healing process actually is a three-pronged process. It's amazing. It's amazing. Some of the most simple principles that are there for you in the world are actually the key principles to create a healing process.
Mm-hmm.
The healing process depends upon the physical, the mental, and the emotional or spiritual parts of the person. Each
mm-hmm.
one of those pieces needs to be addressed by the person before they're truly going to heal from whatever it is. It can be an emotional scar. It can be a physical scar. It can be a financial scar. It doesn't matter. Unless you address all three of those things, then you're just not going to heal from it. You'll carry it with you. And for instance, one of the biggest things that you can ever do when it comes to healing is forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgiveness of anything involved in that circumstance. Because if you don't forgive whatever that circumstance is, you hold that energy there, you're never going to heal from it. Because you're holding on to it. It's like glue to you. So that's just one of the aspects. But really, this is just an extension of what we were just talking about. But whenever the point I want to make is if I don't have that information, I can't help others. Now, I don't want to be the answer man to everybody's questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is about. What I do is I teach people how to become their own answer man, how to gain their own answers, and have them reliable so that they can go out there and make that change. They can be their neighborhood hero. They can be the person in the family that others go to get advice from. They can be that person because they have all that extra information that seemingly no one else seems to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. That's what we teach. We teach very simple ways to basically a technique to go do
Another thing, Shannon, like you, when you mentioned forgiveness, another aspect to that that many people probably don't think about, you also have to forgive yourself.
Absolutely.
Not just others.
Mm-hmm. Guilt is such a driving force in this world. It is amazing at how many people feel guilty so much that they won't forgive themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely forgive yourself, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So...
This is such an enormous amount of information there that we could get, and gosh, you know, I wish we had 3 weeks to talk about this and just, you know, and then just an hour. But
this is what it's like in the life of a mental photographer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stand on a pedestal. You just are yourself, and you just are there. And you have the ability to help other people. What could be better than that? That's what it's all about.
Right.
And in the process of helping others, you end up helping yourself. It's just like J. Paul Getty said many, many years ago, if you can help enough other people to get what they want, you will always have what you want.
That's true. Where is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, how many people right now would like to have how many people right now would like to have their photographic memory intact and readily available?
Yeah.
Can I see hands?
If we could see a raise of hands on this radio, I bet there'd be a heap of them coming, just showing all up.
Here you go.
Fascinate me that a lot of what you guys have been saying coincides a lot with what I've learned through my shamanic training, especially about healing. Through shamanic healing, we always were taught about addressing all four layers of healing, which they classified it as the mental / emotional, the physical, the spiritual, and the soul level. And if you don't address all those, you know, that ailment will not heal properly, you know, or it'll just linger. And it was very important, like you were mentioning, about the release of emotion and how that can manifest ailments, you know. And I had a client the other day I was actually with, and I felt that she had some sort of issue going on in her abdominal region, you know, and I thought it was due to emotional distress that she's had built up for years, and I told her about that, and it just kind of like totally blew her mind, because that's exactly what was going on, you know. And she said that, I don't remember the disorder that she had right now off the top of my head, but she said that she actually has to go to the doctor like once a week to have that, and they're watching this very closely, make sure they develop into a tumor or something like that, et cetera, et cetera. But I just wanted to make note of that.
Oh, Justin, there's some kind of interference on the phone there. Is everyone hearing that?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Is it gone now?
Yep.
That's gone.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, let's talk a little more about that photographic memory. In fact, surprising to you, everybody, we already have it. We just don't or never were taught how to use it. Talk a little more about that.
The photographic memory, it's a wonderful device. We're born with it. It's called the eidetic memory, which in itself is amazing, because see, the eidetic memory involves not only the visual, but it involves all the rest of the senses as well. So likewise, what we're actually taking in is all of the senses. We're actually experiencing the whole world in a photographic memory style. Whenever you are recalling mentally photographed material, that's how you recall mentally photographed material, is on all sensory levels. Any time that you take in even the description of different sensory levels with regards to whatever the topic is, you still actually are able to pull up the other senses. You can hear things, you can smell things, you can taste things. We've had people go and photograph gourmet cookbooks and find that their taste not only change, but they can taste how that particular gourmet food is going to taste in their mouth before ever even preparing it. Now, this would kind of fly in the face of reason when it comes to diets, because you could taste just how good that food is going to taste. You could literally replace the food. That's an off topic anyhow. We'll go into something else.
Weight loss program in the waiting here.
When it comes to people with the photographic memory, most people don't realize that they actually do have it. And people that do realize that they have it, most of those people are in denial. So it's just because we've been taught away from it. And the key point that teaches us away from the photographic memory is, of course, reading. When we learn to read, we're told to turn this function off. We're told to give it up. Well, this is one of the wonderful gifts that we're absolutely given. And it's one of our best attributes, because we can learn so much with it. Yet the schooling systems, bless their heart, in their desire to teach us, they end up turning off one of our greatest assets. So we need to take control back and start using this again for our own benefit instead of the benefit of things like subliminal advertisers and such like that. See, as I explained in the last program, because of subliminal advertising fully uses the photographic memory, your photographic memory, to use it to pick your pocket. Well, by utilizing mental photography and understanding mental photography, you get to take control of it, and that means you get to take control of that back away from the subliminal advertisers. It'll change the way you buy things. It'll change your buying habits. It's amazing just how you can take control of these things. And the main thing is the mental photography is excellent exercise for your brain. Now, you may have say, well, I do crossword puzzles, or I do jigsaw puzzles. I do the Sudokus, or whatever the puzzle of the day is. And I do all these different puzzles to exercise my brain. And what scientists have found is that they only help to a very minimal point. They really don't do what is necessary to produce good results within the brain. The things that produce results within the brain are what trigger neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is what happens whenever you flood the brain with so much information that you literally trigger it or force it to react to build more components. And what this does for you is, in the case of mental photography, it builds what are called dendrites. Dendrites are your memory storage compartments on your brain cells. And it builds those. So you're actually building physical memory. It also strengthens the neural connections that you have. Mm-hmm. And until just about 10, 15 years ago, they didn't really understand this at all, but they finally realized it. And this actually happened with stroke victims who would regain areas of their brain. And the reason that they were able to do that is not necessarily through our process, but through force and the sheer fury of desire and willfulness to get these things back. They forced their brain to gain these areas back. Well, you don't have to take such a willful and forceful attitude with the mental photography to be building using the same using the same principles. Excuse me, that was mine.
Oh boy.
using the same principles of forcing your brain to build, you can do that. But this does it in a different way. It does it in a more gentler fashion because you have a focused objective. And yeah, we see people do incredible things with their memory at any given time. If you want to seriously take on this isn't part of a program, but I'll give it to you anyhow. This is a way. This will give you something to take away with you today, and know that you've taken away something of value. What this is a way to increase memory, your ability to memorize, and it'll actually work well for you because it'll create that a little bit of that stress that you need. What you do is you go into a room and you look around the room, you memorize everything that you can memorize in the room. You step out of the room and you have somebody take something out of the room. Then you go back into the room and you have to figure out what they took out of the room. You have a whole room to look at and memorize. Now somebody's taken something out of the room and you have to know what that something is. Now that is stressful. And you can do this way. You might actually have to start with somebody just moving something in the room so that you can recognize something's been moved. That's a little bit easier. But by memorizing a full room of information three-dimensionally, and then having somebody take something out of that room, and you actually being able to go back into that room and tell them what they took out, well, then that is going to trigger things within the brain. You can then start, once you're successful with that a few times, then you can have them take a few extra things out, or take one thing out and move another. And again, you walk in there and you have to tell them what they just did.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very, very nice little compact exercise that you can use today. And you can see just how bad your memory really is.
Yeah, right.
Now that's good
because
exercise.
Whenever you first start doing that, you're going to find your memory is not very good.
Yeah,
but it does actually tap a little bit into the photographic memory as well. Mm-hmm. Now, with our training, we have less strenuous techniques in order to do this because we use books, and we use books in such a way that it triggers you to gain massive amounts of information in a very short amount of time. And along with that, you get all the brain exercise that you need to really take control of things. Every time that you exercise your brain, you're doing things phenomenally well for yourself because it not only affects information, it affects everything that you do. It affects everything that happens within your body. If you are the type of person, you feel like you're walking around in a fog, which you probably are, well, then what that means is you just need this exercise to clear that fog. That's a natural byproduct of our program, is for that fog to be lifted from your decision-making process, the way you think and feel about things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a natural part of what happens as you progress with our training.
Hey, Shannon, would you say your website? We got to get that in a few times. In case somebody's sitting in front of the computer, they could probably have a look at the website at the same time they're listening here.
The website is zoxpro.com. That's ZOXPRO.com. Like Zox Professional, but only a shortened version, Zox Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's an easy site to get to.
Where does the ZOX come from?
That's a secret. I'll tell you about it some other time.
Okay.
It's One of the wonderful things, whenever you create your own word, you can do a lot of things with it. This word, because we created it ourselves, it is a noun, it's a pronoun. It is a verb, it's an adjective. Okay, we can talk about zox, zoxing, zoxed, zoxer. A zoxer is a person that does zoxing. Yeah. Zoxing is the action of the method. You can talk about I've zoxed something, and so you've done it through zox, which is actually the mental photography, or zox is the base word.
So this training can just knock your zox off.
Yeah, that's just like that. Hey, zox rocks, right?
Yeah. Hey, Shannon, I when I was teaching the course some 20 years ago, I went into a flight school, and we taught the students that they were working on a commercial pilot license, and they had some phenomenal results with it. And would you maybe say something about, maybe mention an experience that you had with maybe students that were lagging behind? Because this can do phenomenal things for learning and way beyond what we can even imagine, because that is what I experienced. Maybe you just mention something about that. Maybe if you have a story of a kid that maybe was behind a little bit and see how he excelled afterwards.
Well, it's actually, there's so many stories like that, it's actually difficult to select a single story.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what happens is that oftentimes people come to us that are going through either a grade school, a high school, or a college learning curve. And for whatever reason, they're having difficulties in their learning. They're having difficulties in not necessarily what they're learning, but how they're learning it. There's all different sorts of things. Mental photography bypasses dyslexia. A quarter of the population, one-fourth, every fourth person that you know has some level of dyslexia. There are seven different types of dyslexia. So most of these things go undiagnosed. Oftentimes, it's misdiagnosed. And oftentimes, it's misdiagnosed as ADD. So if you can influence a quarter of the population to be able to get information without having to read it, because that's actually the function that they're having the problem with, then it's wonderful for a dyslexic person. A dyslexic person can go through this material and get it at our level of speed, which takes in entire pages of information instead of word for word. See, Even if you're taking in whole pages of information, the dyslexic function may turn it around or overlay it or such. That dyslexic function, if it does it to a word, really makes things unreadable. If it does it to a whole page, the information on the page is not corrupted, because you're taking an entire picture of the page. Well, you're taking actually a picture of two pages at the same time. And the information on those pages are not corrupted because it's a whole unit instead of a whole word.
Mm.
That's what makes a big difference for people that suffer dyslexia. So they can go through our system, and they can learn how to do this with our system. Many of those same people never read a single word after that. They photograph everything.
Yeah, that's
kind
of coincides.
And it's to their merit. People that have grade problems in school quite often feel that they are totally under siege by the system, and they have no confidence. This is a great confidence builder because it gives those people the edge in gaining information, not only for dyslexia, but for everyone that is actually using this technique. It's utilizing your natural attributes. Many of our clients have gone back to school, and instead of being the DNF student, all of a sudden they're producing A's, and they're being taken into the teacher's office and basically being grilled about how are they cheating. No, they're not cheating. If you're using your natural attributes, which your photographic memory is naturally yours to own, possess, and use from the day you were born, then no, you're not cheating. You're simply using what God gave you. And that's where the teaching industry doesn't understand how a person can go from failing to A's and B's in no time at all. And it's reuse of the photographic memory. And that's what we teach people how to do.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was teaching the course that the first thing we did was to give people a reading test for 5 minutes, and then we count the words. One kid that came in, he was so dyslexic that in 5 minutes he was two lines down, and he couldn't remember what he had read. But after he was done with the course, he was flying through books with the rest of them at 50 to 75,000 words a minute, and he scored 80s and 90s on his tests. So that's my experience, and that does happen.
Absolutely. I mean, this is – people think, oh, this is something that goes bump in the night. No, this is the actual reality. And we find people all the time with the same circumstances. And if your child has had a learning difficulty or a learning problem along the way, oh man, the teaching industry is so quick to assign these children to dead end programs or making basically things that take away their self esteem. And whenever they take away their self esteem, then it just becomes worse. It becomes a very bad cycle. And that's where you don't want to be. Because as a child, you want to be able to learn. And you're not going to be learning whenever you have all these things happening to you.
I want to mention our call-in number. Before we run too close to the end of the show, we might have a caller or two would like to call in with a question. You can call us at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142.
Okay. So, basically, anything that you can think of that you want to do in your life or that you want to change in your life, this training, this mental photography is the key. Because anything that you want to do in your life needs good information. And in today's world, you need good information fast. And you can't get it all through reading. There's no way. In 2013, there were 15 million new books brought out.
Wow.
Now, that is an increase from 1995 was the first year that they broke 1 million books per year being brought out. That was in 1995. Less than 20 years later, not that many more people on the planet yet, but less than 20 years later, we are at 15 million books per year.
Mm. Wow.
How are you ever going to keep up with any one particular item? You have whatever your favorite thing is. How do you possibly keep up with your favorite topic? You can't. There's too much information out there. You can't whenever it comes to reading. Reading, the fastest speed that a person can read at is the fastest a person can talk, which is actually around 650 to 700 words per minute. Now, that's the fastest reader in the world. If you can't talk at those speeds, then you can't read that fast, because it's relevant to the physical of reading. So if you talk at 250 words per minute, that's as far as you're going to go when it comes to reading, whatever your reading speed is. Whenever you are mentally photographing, we don't even start until we reach 25,000 words per minute. That's 100 times the average reading speed. 50,000 words per minute is just around the corner from that. During our classes, people easily achieve over 100,000 words per minute during our classes. And we have people that report back to us that they are in the millions of words per minute with the amount of information that they can take in. Now, those numbers, most people would say, oh, come on, Shannon. Be real. You can't read at those speeds. Well, guess what? You can't, because this is not reading. It's mental photography. It's a totally different dimension. And you're doing something completely different, but completely natural. It's completely natural to your brain. That's why it's very easily done.
I have a question. Go ahead, Augie. You had a question. I got one, too.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll wait.
Yeah, if someone, say, is blind in one eye, can they still read and do the photography with their mind?
Whenever we have a person mentally photograph the book, we have them blur it out. So they're not actually visually seeing the words clearly. Their mind picks everything up very clearly. But on a physical sense of the way we have come to understand visual, no, it's not clear at all. So whenever it comes to a person being blind in one eye, no, that's easy. They can be blind in one eye and hardly can see out of the other. They can still get it verbatim, even from across the room. It's because it's dealing with something that's completely different to the way we think about reading. It's called mental photography. And it doesn't matter the size of the frame. You can use this with microfiche, microfilm. The tiniest print on that bottle of aspirin that you can... that microprint that they have on everything these days. You can use it with that. It's amazing as to what you can actually do with this stuff. And for information, that's great. But it's not only gaining information, it's what you can do with that information. And the secondary nature of it is this building process. The building process that is going to give you a better brain so you can go out there and make a better life. And I don't care who you are, what you do, or even who you know. You are typically not going to want to stop. You are going to want to have a better life from where you are right now. And by the way, those huge volumes of information that you want to know about extraterrestrials and all the rest of that, well, get it the right way. Get it this way. At least you'll be able to get through the material and actually be able to understand it.
Another thing that I'd like to mention a little bit about is intuition. And that may come from a different part of the mind training that you're doing, not necessarily the photography as firsthand, only a secondary effect off of it. And that is something that I noticed, that once you start doing this, you're exercising the connection with that universal consciousness out there, and your intuition will become much sharper and keener than what it was before. I think we're tapping into the unified field more easily. So we are finding that everything is connected, and we're able to get information from a distance, and it is fed up through the subconscious into the conscious mind and become conscious understanding. Does that make sense?
It is said that no man is an island. Well,
yeah.
Nor woman. But
yeah.
And that is very, very true. We are actually all connected. We're connected through, yes, the unified field, this electronic field that is connected, that we're connected all to. Now, this is expressed on a localized level. It's called your aura, and that's what connects you to the rest of the universe. And whenever you exercise your brain, you not only make your brain stronger, you make the connection to the rest of the universe stronger. And this is absolutely essential if you want to have if you want to be able to do the things that you need to do in life, because it enables you to see things a lot clearer. Whenever we have professional psychics come into the training, it will take their profession to an all-new level that they've never experienced before. If a person is not accustomed to seeing auras, chances are by the time they leave the training, or in the case of the Zoxpro training, along the way, they're going to start experiencing auras. They're going to start seeing what those really are. And it's just a natural expression of the mind reaching out for more information.
Mention,
so,
your,
granted,
mention your website again.
The website is zoxpro.com, ZOXPRO.com. Now, whenever you go there to zoxpro.com, you're going to find that we don't really talk that much about psychic abilities and all the rest of these wonderful things, and it's pretty benign. And that is because we deal with things in the mainstream market as well. We deal with people in school. We deal with people that are technicians, owners of businesses, people that are the general public. Okay, so a lot of the topics that we're talking about here are not necessarily going to be covered on there, but it definitely does not mean that that is meaningless information. It simply means that it's a different platform.
Yeah.
A different arena, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when it comes to intuition, yes, you can heighten your intuition. We have people that have never talked to their dog before suddenly find that their dog has been talking to them for years. we have you like that, huh?
We have people
that find that their memory, up until this point, their memory has really gone off the rails, and suddenly they find that they can only remember events in their childhood. They can remember all the way back to their own birth. Why? Because they're exercising their brain. All these things are locked in your brain. They're all there for you. It's a huge, wonderful reservoir. You just need to exercise your brain in the right way to be able to access all these things. And that's another thing is it provides its own support mechanism. As you use this, it not only exercises the brain so that you gain the memory, but by continuing to do so, you continue to gain. I mean, it doesn't just reach a plateau and stop. You continue to gain with it. And it can be used for anything that you want to use it for in life. It's fully applicable.
It sounds like training that everyone would want to do if they just could appreciate that this really works. And I guess, as the old saying goes, the proof's in the pudding, and this is pudding's a good one.
Well, we have plenty of people that will attest to the fact that it does work. Now, the thing is you have to use it. If you don't use it, it's not going to work for you. And that's what people have to come to the realization for. The people that come to me and they say, you know, Shannon, is it going to be worth my time? My answer to them, you'll never look back. Once you see how well this does work, you'll never regret it. Because, yes, it does take some work on the front end. But once you start seeing what those results are like, it's phenomenal what you get out of it. And it lasts your entire life.
Yeah.
You can keep using it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you get away from it for a while, you just get back involved with it. Easy.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, it's been a very interesting show again. And, gosh, we're going to have to get you back again soon. We still have more to talk to you about, for sure. And ZoxPro.com is where they need to go and learn how they can sign up and do this training. Thank you for listening to Night Search.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.